Hey, how are you guys doing? You guys doing good? You guys are going to have to raise it up. There's not that many of you tonight. We're just, woo, hey, there you go. Thank you, Phil. Good job. Hey, how are you feeling, Tom?
Tired.
Tired? Yeah, I bet. So you got 19,000 feet?
No.
How many, where were you at?
It was at
17,000 feet in 12 hours. That's a good way to go, man. That's awesome. Good job. That was yesterday. I think I sat around, ate some donuts, and anyways. So, yeah. No, that's awesome. Good job. Hey, we are in this series, and Andy's going to sit back here and be my co-pilot or something back here. You know you're going to just totally distract me this whole time. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and we'll get into this. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you for this group that's here tonight. And Lord, we just ask that those that are out, that are enjoying the game, that Lord, we just ask that you would let them know that we're thinking about them and that, Lord, just be evident in their life. And Lord, we just want your kingdom and your glory to be revealed throughout. And so, Lord, we just continue to come before you and worship you. And we ask that you would speak to us through your spirit. And we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, real quick, I just see how old you guys are. How many of you guys remember the old commercial? This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs. Yeah, a few of you remember that. Yeah, it was kind of this dramatic thing, you know, where you had the skillet, you know, and they have this egg, and here's your brain. They pop the egg in the skillet, and it would fry. This is your brain on drugs. Anyways, that was a memory maker, you know, as a kid. There was like, wow, okay, that's really wild. Tonight, as you guys know, we've been going through this whole wellness thing and kind of looking at the different areas of who we are and how we're made up, and basically coming off the scripture, realizing that we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And so being able to kind of break those areas down of our who we are. And we've talked about our strength and how really it really does affect us and who we are and our ability to serve God on certain levels and how we're supposed to take care of this temple. We've been talking about the emotions and getting through that. And I really praise the Lord that we're done with that section. And so there's this weird thing that happens where, and I'm sure it happens to other pastors, but it always happens to me, that whenever I sit down and go, okay, I'm going to start studying, we're going to start working on this series, and we're going to be dealing with these issues, and then the next thing, as I'm actually putting those things together, it seems like God takes me through with them, and it's like, all right, this is way too personal. This is too much. And when we went through the emotional stuff, I definitely went through some emotional stuff. So I'm glad to be moving on. We are now talking about the mind and how we think and how we process. And so we're going to get into it a little bit this week, and next week we're going to really unravel some of it. And if you can, unravel your mind, I guess. But we are going to dig into how we think and how we process, and just how the Lord wants us to take control of some of these things and allow him to reign in our life. So the first scripture I want to read to you is actually a unique one here over in 1 John chapter 3. And I want to present this to you and go through these a couple different verses here, because there's more than one attack against how we think and how we process. And so this is the first one that I'm going to give to you guys here in 1 John chapter 2, actually, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. Now, right out first, when you talk about do not love the world, the first thing that pops into a lot of people's mind is, well, God so loved the world. Aren't we supposed to love the world? And the reality is when he talks about God so loved the world, it's talking about loving the people, us. And he does love us. What John is talking about here is the philosophy of the world. So he's not talking about the people. He's talking about the way the world works, the way it processes things, its priorities. We mentioned last week about success and how actually success is totally dictated by our culture. So whatever culture we are in, we actually have a different definition of success. And so success is not this universal idea. It literally is our environment that we grow up in and say, this is what it means to be whatever. And so we put that label on it, and so we work towards it. That's part of the philosophy of the world. And so what John is warning us here is that, listen, when we get caught up into the way the world thinks and the way the world acts and the priorities of the world, we are often going to be misled and under restraints. And as he goes into this, he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So in other words, the desire of the flesh, the things that make me feel good, the lust of the eyes, those are the things that I want to have, and then the pride of life, those are the things that look at me, what I have achieved, what I got. And so these different areas that basically attack the way that we think and the way that we process. And so we have the philosophy of the world that is always going on around us. There's some things that we can look at right off the bat and go, that's not right. I mean, it doesn't take much for us to be able to walk into a super mall or a super mall, super, you know, food store or whatever, and you walk down and there's the magazine aisle. And to be honest, as a guy, half the time you have to do this, you know, because what do they plaster all over the front of the magazines? These supermodels. And so we have a society around us that goes, this is the image of a successful woman. This is what a beautiful woman looks like. And so our society, the world, the philosophy of the world is putting out this image, putting out this layer that says, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do to be accepted. This is what you have to do to be, you know, one of the best. So that's one of the things, to be honest, for us, it's kind of easy to look at and go, that's not right. That's not what our kids should grow up. I have three daughters, and so obviously I look at that stuff and go, I hate the fact that the world puts that kind of pressure on my girls. It's not right. But there's a lot of things that sneak into the way that we think and the way that we process that come from our surroundings and our world view that we don't recognize very quickly. And we let them sink into the way we think and the way that we process. And quite often, the way that we think and we process, we have this kind of one-track mind, if you will, in the sense that when we begin to think about something of going, okay, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, what we do is we look for things that back up our view and how we process, the way we see things. And we do it because we want to affirm, and because we don't want to be wrong. So we want to affirm our ideas and our thoughts. And at the same time, we kind of want to become this place where it's like, well, I want to be more educated. And so I want to be able to be stronger in these viewpoints and these things. And so we begin to surround ourselves by the things, and we begin to see things the way that we process. You ever have a conversation with somebody and you say something? And then later on, that person goes, oh, you remember when you da-da-da and you said such and such? And it's like the total opposite of what you said? Or they got the totally wrong idea of what you were trying to communicate? And you go, how in the world? That's not at all what I was saying. This happens to me and Sasha all the time. And I'm always right and she's wrong. But it's, you know, but it's one of those things that we do. Part of it is because we come in with an idea of what we're going to hear or an anticipation of what we're going to hear, and so that's what we walk away hearing. Or we say something, and in our mind we have an idea of what we're saying, but the other person does not have that same idea. So it doesn't come across at all. And there's confusion or there's frustration. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes, you know what I mean, it works itself out, but there's still this mishap that happens, and the mishap actually happens because of how we think and how we process, not always because of the words. And so It's important for us to be able to stop and realize we have this battle that is going on over our mind. We have these three areas that are attacking us. One of them is the world and its philosophy. There's another one that many of you guys are aware of, and that's brought up here in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, looking down here in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul puts the way that we think and we process into the view of a battle that is going on. A battle that is happening in the sense that in all reality of what we think and how we think and how we believe things. The spiritual battle is fought in our mind. There are physical things that may happen in the spiritual realm around us to be able to sway us as far as our circumstances and all those kind of things. You can read that like in Job where things happen and Job's circumstances were bad. But quite often, the battle actually happens in our mind, how we think and how we process. Paul sits here and says, hey, listen, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds in the battle would simply, if you think about it, in a battle, there's like, if they're coming against the castle, they're coming against the keep, they have this place that they're dug in, the foxhole, that this is where the enemy's at, and they're in there, and as you try to attack it, it's terrible because they have a stronghold where they can defend it easily, and we're doing everything we can to take over this thing, but unless we get rid of the stronghold, you can't win the battleground. Now, he's talking about your mind. There's areas in our mind that the devil, that the world, that the way that we think, the way that we process, are strongholds against the things of God. We have things in our mind, things that we have allowed to root itself in there. And many times these strongholds happen like when we're super young. And as we begin to grow and somebody says something and it takes root about, you know, not being enough or too much or you're ugly or you're not worthy or if you're really going to win my approval, you need to do such and such. And so these battles begin to fight inside of us and they get rooted in who we are and our identity. And so whenever we go into a situation and we begin to deal with something, those thoughts run through our head. And they're actually what, in many ways, bring out the outcome already. And we almost already know what the outcome is going to be because we've played the scenario so many times and gone through it so many times. And the problem is it's not actually our ability, it's not actually who we are. It is the fact that we come in with a preconceived idea that this is what's going to happen. And it's these strongholds that hold into our life. Many folks that walk around and struggle with self-identity and who they are. It's because as a kid or as a teenager, they're made little of or whatever. And that, like I say, it gets rooted in there. This is a spiritual battle. And we have the power to demolish these strongholds. And it's super important for us to realize that it comes to a place where it is a battle for the mind, the way that we think. And I love how he brings this up, that we take captive every thought. See, that's part of the process. Because we all go through this. We're all being attacked in different ways. Whether it's a spiritual battle that's happening or whether it's the world's philosophy where everybody on the outside goes, no, this is what's right. We have this mental process that we go through. And for us to actually stop in the middle of that and go, wait a minute, where's that thought coming from? Why do I give that value? Why do I let that define who I am? when it's only Christ who can define who I am? He is my creator. He is the one who has redeemed me. He is the one who has died and paid the price so that I could be with him. He is the one that says that I am a child of God. He is the one that says my destiny is to become like him. And yet I will define myself by other people's opinions. I'll define myself by the world standard because I've allowed those thoughts to take captive my heart and who I perceive myself to be. Compared to Paul's advice to saying, wait a minute, we got to take captive every thought that comes our way. Take captive that thought, process it, and be able to go, where is this coming from? Is it the truth? I want to read to you another scripture here in Romans. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, and the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Real quick survey. Is your life a life of peace? Is your life a life of peace? See, to really have peace in all circumstances, a peace that surpasses our circumstances, as the scripture talks about it, that has to be a mindset that comes by the Spirit. This world and how we process, and if you think about it right here, it's talking about we have this pressure that's out there by the world. We have this pressure that is coming that is supernatural that comes in and pressures us. And we have our own stinking sin nature. In other words, the things that we desire because we want them. It's not because the world says anything, that's what we desire, and so we're going to chase after. This is the way that I've formed my belief, and so this is what I'm going to step into. This is my identity because this is what I think it is. And so we have our own flesh to deal with. And the truth of it is simply this. If we are governing and we're trying to control our own minds and our own thoughts, we don't have the power. We want the power and we want control. That's why Oprah does so well. I mean, to be honest, that's what it's about. That's why there is so many self-help books. That is why there is such a plague of everybody going, hey, it's New Year's, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution, and the gyms make money. You know, and everybody's going to the gym and signing up, and all, and then a month, 2 months down the road, that falls to the wayside. Because we're all trying. We want to be better people. Deep inside of us, we want something that we know we're not yet. And so our flesh desires these things and we chase after them, and some of them aren't bad. The reality is often we want to do good, and as Paul would talk about it, even though I want to do good, for some stupid reason I keep doing bad. And I can't stop it. As a matter of fact, it just proves the simple fact that I can't muster enough discipline and enough willpower to stop these things because I keep doing what's bad shows that I'm actually a slave and it's not really me, but it's something in me. And that something in us is the sin nature. This is exactly what Christ died for. When he died on the cross, he died to take away our sins. And the reality is when we receive him as Lord and Savior, when we accept him and realize that he died for my sins, that I may have eternal life and be right with God, the reality is there is still a sin nature in me. It's not removed. But now he has given me the Spirit that I can fight the flesh. The Spirit of God inside me, so I am redeemed and I'm born again. And this power that is inside me now is from God. And so he gives me the power to be able to look at temptation and be able to say, no, I don't have to do that. It doesn't mean that we always do that. As believers in Christ, quite often we step in and we still do it. And we give into it. and we lose that little battle. And almost always, if you follow the train track back, it comes to a place where we have a mental decision on what we're going to do. Whether we're going to give in to the desires of the flesh or whether we're going to give in to the desires of the Spirit. And whenever we step into the desires of flesh, there is death and destruction, because sin always leads to death and destruction. Whether it's a death and destruction of me, whether it's relationships, whether it's the things I touch, sin always leads to death and destruction. But yet it's the Spirit that lives in me because I've accepted Christ, that I hold on to. And the reality is I still have this battle that's going on inside me, but now I have a new power, this strength, the demolished strongholds that God has given me, the Spirit, to be able to step up and have a ability to say no. And what's awesome is one day when I'm fully redeemed and I go home and I'm in heaven, and this is all done, my destiny is to be like Christ and my sin nature removed. And it's no longer a battle, and that's the victory. That's the place where we can finally say, I've arrived. And there it is. See, in the midst of this whole thing that's going on and this war that's happening over our mind, we have these three foes. We have the world. We have a supernatural power out there that is tempting us and bringing down destruction on us. And then we have our own self, which makes it really confusing when you think about it. I mean, there's three different things that are coming against us to destroy us and tear us down on how we think and how we process. And so being able to win the battle over the mind, to be able to get to a place to be healthy, is the reality of what Christ said. Back here in John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings and you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We know that little saying. Most of us do. The truth will set you free. But we struggle, because it's like, well, how does that work? If the truth will really set us free. And yet, it's not just the truth. Notice what Jesus is saying here. It says, if you hold to my teachings and are really my disciples. So it's more than just knowing the truth. It's actually being able to follow Christ into those things. And there's a place, too, of being able to know what the lies are and to be able to know what the truths are. Because I would say so many of us, the battles that we often lose are those areas that are strongholds that have gotten so rooted in our mind and how we process that we think it's the truth. And yet, we don't know. Later on, John, just a little bit farther on down, same chapter, verse 43, as he's talking with the Pharisees, and they keep arguing with him, and he brings this up in verse 43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you have to carry out, or you want to carry out, out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. I think this is the dividing line. As believers in Christ, we know that he has saved us and redeemed us, and so we hold on to that hope, and then we hold on to that future, and we realize that there's this battle that's going on around us. We can see it quite clearly when we talk about temptations or when we talk about the world's philosophy and those things that we look at and go, that's wrong and that's evil. You know? When we see those things and there's division that happens between races and we go, no, that's not right. That's easy to figure out. That should have never happened. according to how God designed us and how he wants us to live. And so we can see those things, but quite often what happens is there's things that come into our life that we don't really follow God in fully and accept as truth. And we have allowed other people to come in and define who we are. Have come in and defined us through either somebody's words or through tragedy or whatever. And so we have these areas in our life that we are struggling with. And like I said, the dividing line is right here. Of being able to really stop and go, is that the lie or is it the truth? And will I live by it or will I break it down and live by what God says and hold on to obedience of what he has for me? I mean, quite often, you think about it, a really simple one is that we know that we're loved. God loves you totally and completely. If you haven't heard that before, you need to know it and you need to understand it. God loves you totally and completely. He cannot love you anymore, and he will not love you any less. His love is without sin, and so we don't even grasp what his love totally means to us. He sees you, he sees who you are, and he loves you. And we look at ourselves and we have these lies inside of us saying, no, love is something that you earn from people because you have to act a certain way in order to be loved. Love is something that you have to win from somebody. And so you got to do certain things in order to win their approval and favor. And you got to keep doing those if you want to continue to earn that love. And if you do something wrong, you're in danger of losing love. And so then we step into our relationship with God and go, okay, he loves me totally and completely. Now what do I need to do? Because I want him to love me more. No, you don't get it. He loves you totally and completely. Okay, but what if I did this back here? Obviously, he's not happy with me now. No, he loves you totally and completely. See, for us to be able to stop and really wrestle with that, in all honesty, I think we know it on an academic level, some of us do, but heart level, to be able to grasp the fact that when he looks at us, he doesn't see us and go, you know, I love you, but this over here. Now, do we have issues? You bet. We have this sin nature in us, as we talked about before. He sees the sin nature, but the reality is, and I truly believe this, that when God looks at us, he looks at that and he says, it's just like looking at a child with cancer. You know? And you look at this child with cancer, you don't go, ooh, you're ugly and disgusting because you got cancer. Fix that. Child can't fix that. It's a disease. It's something that is attached to him that's eating at him and is destroying who he is. If anything, we have more compassion. If anything, we have more love. If anything, there's a part of us that's like, I want to do what I can to help you through this. That is the love of our Father. To look at us and say, listen, I know you struggle with that. I want to help you. I want to walk with you. I want you to get victory in this. Not because that makes you ugly, but because it's destroying you. See, to be able to fall into a place where the love of the Father sinks in, and some of us will hear this right now and go, oh, okay, you're preaching this message of just all grace. That this is what it is, it's just a free, you can do whatever you want. No, that's not it at all. Because there's a thing that I truly believe that if you can grasp how much God loves you, and I really, really believe this, if you can grasp how much God loves you, then all this other stuff, the philosophy of the world, the desires of our flesh, the sin nature that is out there, all those things, they become so disgusting that you don't want to have anything to do with it. Because the love of the Father is so sweet. And I don't want to be identified with that stuff. I want to be identified with His righteousness and His goodness and His peace and His mercy. And I want more of that. And the more of that that I can receive and understand in my life, the truth of it is more that I can give to other people. Because when I realize how much grace has been given to me, and somebody treats me wrong, doesn't respect me, you know, it's okay, I get it. And I can give them grace also. To be able to stop and go, oh, no, there's days that I did stupid things too. It doesn't make me better than you that I'm not doing it now. I just know what that was like. And I don't need to respond other than to give you grace. See, when we begin to capture the thoughts in our minds, because the reality is see, we come along and we have these things where, like I say, I present this and it's like, oh, this is just grace. And it's just, you know, and so what we're doing is we're mentally putting up a block to go, yeah, he's just preaching that, so I can't fully subscribe to the reality that God fully loves me totally and completely. And we have a stronghold. Because I don't think there's very many of us that can fully, including myself, that can fully grasp how much God really loves me. I want to. The more and closer I get, the more and closer I get in His presence and in worship, and I see His goodness around, and I experience His love through other believers, and God's goodness in all of it. When I look back through my life and I see times that were hard, and then all of a sudden I realize, wow, because of God's grace, not only did I make it through that, but I see how He rewrote that story to make it something beautiful. And I see God's hand, and it's like, totally and completely. But my mind wants to say, yeah, but, because there's these strongholds inside of us. Love is just one area of our life. The truth of it is there are so many spots, so many areas, so many things, our identity, who we are, how we process, the familiar sins in our life, all these different things that happen that are strongholds on how we process. If there's something that you feel like, man, you know, I'm doing really good with the Lord, except for this one area, I challenge you, take the time. That's the challenge this week. Take the time and dig into it. Why do I think that way? Where did that come from? Because quite often, if we fall after the Lord, we probably have heard the truth. But we don't recognize it because we are captivated. We have this beachhead that is still happening in our life that belongs to the devil about who we are, or how we do, or what success, or all these different areas of our life, these temptations and these sins that we have. And it's like to be able to stop and go, wait a minute, why do I think that way? Or why do I even have that thought? Where does it come from? And begin to nail it down. Because once we recognize where it comes from, maybe it's your own sin nature from the past. Maybe it's the world and it's casting its doubts on you and who you are, how its philosophy works. Or maybe it was satanic attack that was able to get a foothold in your life with some kind of stupid idea that somebody used and put into your head, whether it was a parent or a teacher or a coach or something that made you feel a certain way. And here it is, and now that's part of who you are. Whatever it is, the challenge is work on it. Come back to it and go, where did that come from? Because until we begin to recognize some of those lies, we can't take captive our thoughts. Our thoughts have taken captive of us. And they've taken captive of our destiny because we live according to those things and we govern our life according to those things instead of being able to go, no, that's not the truth. And there's a reason why I give into this temptation on a regular basis. There's a reason why I struggle with these different things, because I'm not allowing the power of the Spirit to really work in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who knows a person's thoughts except one spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So, when we may understand what God has freely given us, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities and with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. You have received the Spirit of God if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Scripture says it really clear. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, in other words, you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and that you are forgiven, that this grace, it's not by your works or by your abilities, but this is a grace that is given to you, and you have faith in God that He has rescued you through the blood of Christ, that's salvation. And if you truly accept that, and if you truly believe that in your heart, the reality is that He says that He puts the Spirit in you. It is a seal that you belong to Him, that you are now His child. You are now born again. That's what Christ talks about in John, that you are now born again because you have the Spirit of God living inside you. We have the Spirit of God living inside you, the Holy Spirit. The Scripture right here just says He has given us the Spirit of God, which has the mind of God. Now, catch what I'm saying. You have an incredible, I can't even think of the right word. You have this, you have the creator of the universe. His Spirit and His power dwells inside of you. That is hard to grasp. And depending on how many lies we've allowed to enter into our life, it's even harder to grasp. But the truth of the matter is He wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. He has given you access to His mind. Have you ever thought about that? No one knows the thoughts of an individual except for the spirit of that individual. And you have the Spirit of God in you. No one knows the thoughts of an individual except for that individual. And you have the Spirit of God in you. See, when you pray, you have this direct connection. He wants to love you and lead you and guide you. He wants you to know His will. He's going to lead you into places that are mysterious and beyond, where you have to step out in faith, believing that He'll catch you. I guarantee that's going to happen. It doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. Trauma and situations will come in. But the reality is a lot of these things come along our way, because in the midst of it, it builds us and grows us to a place of really realizing how much God truly does love us. And we live in a broken world. But He wants to help us. And the attacks that come against us, the philosophies of this world, the supernatural powers of the devil around us, and even our own sin nature, His Spirit trumps it all. The power to demolish strongholds. That's it. So being able to stop. And so that's my challenge this week. We're going to get into some areas next week where we'll look at through Scripture of what really means to captivate these or capture these thoughts, and to be able to know the will of God and transform the way that we think. And we're going to look at a bunch of these different things of how God wants to restore our life, that we can live by truth and not by lies. But for this week, the challenge is Start thinking through your life. What is it that I struggle with? Why do I put my identity on that? Why is it that I always fail in these areas or feel like I fail in these areas? Why do I feel insecure in certain things? Why am I? Start answering some of those questions and figuring out, where have these lies come from? Where are these strongholds at? So we can start attacking them with the Spirit of God. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we thank you for the way that you work in our lives, that, Lord, that you have not left us as orphans, but that, Lord, that you want to strengthen us and encourage us and help us in this journey. Father God, I ask that those that are here tonight that may not know you, that, Father, that you would just begin to awaken their hearts, that you would begin to reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. Those of us that know you, Lord, I ask that you would help us. Help us to identify the strongholds that are in our life that are holding us back from a victorious life. Lord, we want to live differently. Not in a way of piety against other people, but live differently like your Son, in a way that we can give love and grace and purpose and hope to others. Father God, we want to live a righteous life, a life that is honoring and pleasing to you, not in the sense that we are earning your love, but, Father, in a true sense that we truly grasp your love and it changes us from the inside out. So, Father God, we lay it all before you. In Jesus' name, amen.